So if you want to start there with me at verse 18 of Hebrews 12. The Bible says, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." So the church of the firstborn. Let's pray. Lord, please meet with us tonight and use your word in our hearts to teach and grow us. Thank you for this privilege. And we want to just please you tonight and glorify you. And may we open our hearts and hear from you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So as we see here in the beginning, he's pointing back to Mount Sinai when Moses went up to get the law. Remember, the Israel was not allowed to touch the mountain. They weren't allowed to go up there because things were different then. But God there was showing them through a picture that where Moses was representing heaven, and he was there receiving the word of God for the 40 days and the 40 nights, but man wasn't allowed there yet. And that had been true after that point for centuries. And it wasn't until the blood, as we've read about here, had been shed by the perfect Lamb of God that man was allowed to go to heaven. And that's why we read in Luke 16 about how man was in a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And until Jesus died on the cross, man wasn't allowed in heaven because he couldn't be sprinkled with the blood of Christ and thereby be holy, and therefore couldn't enter into God's presence. So God used this to teach them that sin separates. And it still does today. Sin separates us from God. But we live in the age of grace. Sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're born again. And now we're allowed, as it says in verse 22, "You are coming to Mount Zion." Now we're allowed access to the mount. There's no more barrier there. Once we are sprinkled with the blood of Christ, once we're redeemed, once we have His righteousness, we're allowed to access Mount Zion. And that is got a double meaning. If you go to Psalm 48, we'll look at one of the songs that we sing. But when I say double meaning, I mean, number one, we are allowed access to God's throne through prayer, through Jesus Christ, who gives us access. But number two, we are now allowed in heaven. And as we learned in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we're already in heaven because we're in Christ. And remember, time means nothing to God. So we are already, because we're in Christ and He's in heaven, as we read in Ephesians 2:6, seated in heavenly places. So not only do we have access to God's throne through prayer, the Holy of Holies in heaven, which Mount Zion represents, but we are actually there already in Christ. But notice Psalm 48, the song that we sing, verse 1, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." So remind me what the word mountain usually represents in the Bible?
Kingdom.
A kingdom, exactly. Good. Somebody's been listening. It represents a kingdom. So the kingdom of holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion. There it is. In the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The city of the great king, of course, king is Jerusalem. But Mount Zion, that's talking about heaven. That's talking about God's dwelling place. And the Bible teaches that that is the seat of the everlasting kingdom of the world. And now we have access to that. And so he says here in Hebrews 12:22, you're come there. You're coming to Mount Zion. And then he gives a bunch of and untos, and twos, and twos, and twos, and twos. All of these things now have been given to us because of Jesus, because we have been put into the church, into the body of Christ. So let's look at all these things now that have been given to us. Not only have we been given this access to Mount Zion, but it says, and, verse 22, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, remember, if you read through Revelation, the kingdom comes in chapter 20. And then when you get to chapter 21, what do you read about but the New Jerusalem, the city of God descending out of heaven? And that's this very city. If you look in Hebrews 13, verse 14, that's the city that God often refers to, especially here in Hebrews. Remember, we looked recently where it said in Hebrews 11 that they looked for a city. Here in Hebrews 13, 14, it also says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What is this city? It's the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we read about in chapter 21 that descending out of heaven, this huge city, a couple thousand kilometers cubed, that's going to be suspended above the earth. And we're going to be allowed to live there. Now, how all that works post-kingdom, I have no idea. God doesn't tell us. Does it matter? All that matters is we're there, enjoying it. But we have access now to Mount Zion. We have access to the city, the New Jerusalem, which is yet to come. And notice it says, verse 22, to an innumerable company of angels. So we will actually be allowed to see the angels and interact with them. Imagine that. And if you look, go to Revelation 5, we get just a glimpse of that. When John was in heaven, he was allowed to see the future. He was allowed to see the 24 elders seated around the throne in heaven. And here in Revelation 5, verse 11, it says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So you've got the beasts, these are good beasts, and the elders and the angels all around the throne. So we'll be there with the angels, and now we know how many there are. Innumerable. An innumerable company of angels. So because of Jesus now, we have access to Mount Zion, we have access to the heavenly Jerusalem, and we get to interact with the angels. He goes on to say, Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So we have been now placed into the true church, the one church, like we talked about in Ephesians 4 a couple Sundays ago, God's church, the one body of Christ made up of all saved people. If you go to Acts 20, we'll see the entrance requirements to this church is blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Notice where Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And we read in Hebrews 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus gave himself for the church. He gave himself for all that would trust him. And when you trust him, because he's life, your name is written in the book of life. And you get to spend forever with Jesus Christ. So God's given us access to Mount Zion, to the city, the New Jerusalem. And we'll be with an innumerable company of angels. Where now our names are written in heaven. In what? The Lamb's book of life. Right? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. When we got saved, which it can go either way, either all names are originally written in there and then they're blotted out when you don't get saved, or they get written in when you do get saved. I don't know for sure. All I know is if you're saved, your name's in there. And so that's what it means when it says written in heaven. So we're part of the church of the firstborn. Our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we get to be, notice Hebrews 12:23, in the presence of the judge of the universe. Now, to an unsaved person, that's not a good thing. That's a scary thing. He says at the end of the chapter that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice Hebrews 12:29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. Our God. But the unsaved, they're going to have to face that fire. We don't have to fear being in the presence of God because of what Jesus did for us. If you go to 2 Timothy 4, the Bible shows us that sure enough, we will be allowed to be with God when we are around His throne at Mount Zion. Notice 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and His kingdom. So Jesus Christ is the judge, and we will be with Jesus forever and ever. So Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, be with the angels. We become part of the true church. Our names are written in heaven. We get to be with God the judge. And notice verse 23, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Just to remind us that all the other saints will be there too. We won't be there by ourselves. Remember that. When Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We're going to spend forever with all Christians. Even the ones that we don't agree with on their doctrine. Forever we're going to spend with them. So just remember that. Now, if they're unsaved, we're not going to spend time with them. But the saved, all the saved, even the people that have hurt us, they're going to be there forever. And the people that we've hurt, they're going to be there forever. It's a somber reminder. So we're going to be in the Mount Zion with God, with all the other saints. And then he finishes Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So if you go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Now why does it mention Jesus the mediator? Because he is the mediator for the true church. There can't be a true church unless you have someone to mediate between sinful man and a holy God. That's Jesus. Notice 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he is our mediator. He's been mediating for us for 2,000 years as far as mankind goes. And we get to see him. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. In John 14. So by becoming part of this church of the firstborn, look at all that God gives us. We get to be forever in heaven with the Lord, around His throne. We get to be part of the New Jerusalem, which we don't even completely understand how all that works. We just know we get to be there. We get to be with the angels, and we get to see God, and we get to see each other. Says the spirits of just men made perfect. And we get to be with Jesus. All because we are part of the church of the firstborn. Praise God. Let's pray.